Welcome to our emergency board meeting. I'm going to read the names real quick that I don't have showing up on the screen. Will you tell me if you're here? Abraham? Do we have Abraham here? No. Glenn? How about Le'Aaron? Is that a yes? And Elaine Thatcher? Could you tell if that was an answer?
If keep your microphone muted until you need to speak, if you would.
Okay, let me try it one more time. Oh, who is that? Someone's got feedback. Abraham, are you on?
Shannon's on.
Should we just start?
Well, I think go through it one more time.
Okay. Okay, have I got you, Abraham?
Okay. No.
Glenn? Le'Aaron? And Elaine?
Okay.
Maybe
you have mute all.
Because they can unmute them.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
So I think you're good to start.
All right. We'll begin. I need to get approval for the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to be approved.
Okay. Tell me your name before you. Oh, wait. There. You got the chat up?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Put the chat up.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. Okay. Who gave me a motion to accept the agenda? Jeannie, okay. Have an exception by Jeannie, and Paul James has moved. Oh, let's see, move. Gregory Shannon is second. Okay, all those in favor? And I'm going to go down the list like we did at the last meeting. Okay, Ron Natale.
Aye.
Mike Arnold.
Aye.
Craig Wright.
Aye.
Lloyd Berenson. Lloyd? Jim Lloyd? What's on? Okay, Lloyd? Is that Lloyd? Lloyd? Should I just move?
Yeah, just skip past.
Okay, we'll skip past him. Cecilia.
Aye.
Dave Geary. Someone's playing the piano. Okay, Dave Geary. Jeannie Simmons.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Jeannie.
Aye. And could we ask people to please mute their microphones unless they are speaking?
Okay, thank you, Jeannie. Okay, Lyle. Lyle? This isn't
going. Lyle says aye.
Oh, he's down there, aye. Okay, Patrick? If you want to go to the chat to vote, do that. That might be easier. Sue.
Aye.
Thank you. Gregory.
Aye.
Paul.
Aye.
Jeff.
Aye.
Sean.
Aye.
Okay, did I miss anyone?
Le'Aaron.
Le'Aaron?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do you vote to approve the minutes?
Agenda?
Yes.
Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we'll move on then to board. It's unanimous. We'll move on to board business, and Curtis will swear in a new board member.
Sean, if you want to unmute your mic, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, do you have the oath of office in front of you?
Yeah, do you want me to just read it?
I will have you recite it after me. Just raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Sean Bushman.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Welcome back to the board.
It's good to be here.
We're glad to have you here. Okay, we'll move on to board business number B to discuss the proposition for a temporary service reduction. And we're doing this because any service changes of 33% or more have to be approved by the board, and this one will be about 35%. So I will turn this over to Todd.
Great, thank you for being willing to come and do this meeting. I know this is time out of your evening, but I appreciate it. Again, if you will keep your microphones muted unless you have a question or comment. And again, just as a reminder, on your screen you'll see two little people with the number 23 by it. That is the people here. It, right next to that's a little bubble, and that's the chat bubble. If you want to ask a question through the chat bubble, that would be great. Happy to address that. We'll definitely give time for questions. We definitely want to engage you and allow you to have conversation. But I'll start through. And then again, if you want to send us questions, feel free. So the reason that we made this proposal and sent this out and asked the board to meet was because on March 28th, two things happened. The governor issued a stay safe, stay home directive, and the Bear River Health Department issued Public Health Order 2020-01. Those two items strongly encouraged the public to stay at home, to travel only for essential travel. And that caused us to reevaluate based on our direction from the FTA. The FTA, again, has encouraged us to keep operating unless a local health authority or a health official asks us to do differently. And again, we still are determined to be essential travel. We're still providing travel to patrons that are accessing employment, critical nutrition, such as shopping, and medical services, such as dialysis, things of that nature. So we're still providing those trips, which is why our proposal doesn't suspend all service. However, because of the nature of those, the governor's directive and the health order, we're seeing less and less travel. And that's a good thing. That means the public is following the direction that they've been given. And so the discretionary travel is going down. And so as we looked at that, and as we looked at the board's end goals, then we made a decision that it would be in the interest of the district, in the interest of the public, in the interest of our employees to suspend travel that was more discretionary in nature. And that's really the things that we've identified were those areas where it's more peak type of service, and it's not the core service. So as we went through that, and you can see on our recommended changes, there are some areas where we are recommending suspending service because as we looked at this order, we then turned to the ridership to guide us in how we would address these suspensions. So, for example, the area of Cliffside and the Industrial Park, these are areas that we're not seeing ridership in any significant fashion. And so those are areas why we said we would look at shutting down Route 3 and Route 8. We made the recommendation to interline the Lundstrom Park and Island area, which again will take one bus and operate those two routes instead of having a bus on each route. One bus will operate those two routes. At the top of the hour, it will head to Lundstrom Park. At the bottom of the hour, it would head to the island. And then we're suspending the peak service in Logan, Providence, and Millville. So that's 12 and 13. That's the loop route. The peaks the peak loop routes, the frequency of 15 minutes. And then, as we have here, the paratransit service would continue to operate, and that's really for that critical medical appointments. We transport people to dialysis and other type of medical services through that paratransit service. And so those changes are in response to that health order, to the governor's directive, as we continue to see ridership turn down. However, the remainder of that service is in effect for the fixed route during the weekday because we still are having people that are accessing employment and those essential travel trips that are allowed under the order and the directive. As part of this, the health order, and I'm glad that Lloyd's here, so Lloyd can correct me if I misspeak on anything, but the health order talks specifically about that, and I'm just going to quote it. It says effective immediately, and again, this was issued on March 28th. Effective immediately, individuals over the age of 60 and individuals who are immunocompromised should avoid contact with other individuals. Based on that order, then we felt it necessary to recommend to the board that the individuals that are employed with us that are over the age of 60 or individuals that are immunocompromised, that we would place them on administrative leave. Placing them on administrative leave allows us then to have them go home, and we're proposing that that would also mean that we would continue to pay them at their rate for full time. Their hours would continue to be paid. Their benefits would continue to be in effect. For part-time people, they would get paid the average of what they would normally work in a given week. And we have the ability to track that and so that we can calculate that. Based on that, that would affect a significant portion of our workforce. And so that's also part of the reason why we felt it necessary to reduce service. And I apologize, I stepped back on the reduction of service. We also are proposing on the reduction of service that Saturday service would only be the loop and paratransit. All other Saturday fixed route service would be suspended. And this is really based on the fact that with following the health order of sending people that are 60 and older home, it significantly reduces our workforce to the point that it would make it difficult to meet service. And so again, as we looked at the routes to give us a guide of where ridership is, Saturday service is significantly reduced and is much more discretionary in nature. And because of the reduction in workforce, we don't feel like we could meet Saturday service. And so that's really guiding those recommendations to you. We also feel it beneficial, equitable, for those folks that continue to show up, continue to provide the service to our communities, that they should be compensated. And so that's why we're recommending an extra $1.50 an hour as emergency pay. That during the time that this health order is in effect, the governor's directive is in effect, that they would be paid an additional $1.50 per hour for the time that they work. So again, you know, we tried to lay this out somewhat. This really is a result of the health order and the governor's directive. I would love to entertain questions at this point, so either through the chat or, you know, unmute your microphone and we'll entertain your question.
Curtis?
Yes, sir.
Cost savings on this?
That's a really good question. Based off of the proposal that we're doing, we're actually not doing this for cost savings. It's more in order to meet the service demands. If the board chooses to enforce this idea of 60 and over not working, it makes it really hard to meet service. And so the proposal to pay them doesn't result in any cost savings. So the service reduction doesn't result in any cost savings. And so that's where this really doesn't have a lot of budgetary impacts. It's basically cost neutral based off of where we think we're going to end up.
Okay. Okay.
So, through the chat, Craig has asked a question. You can read it. I'll read it. In the event that this continues longer than we currently expect, how long would employees on administrative leave be paid? Do we simply follow the government's order on this? So currently, the health order is in effect through April 13th, I want to say. April 13th. But the health department says that they will reevaluate this. So at this point, we're proposing this through April 13th. But this is a great question. Should the health order or health department prolong this, or the governor's office prolong this? Then yes, we're proposing that this would remain in effect. The administrative leave would remain in effect, and the employees would get paid. We feel like we're in a position, from a financial position, that we could do this for a period of time. We feel that we could do this probably as long as we need to. But again, we'll evaluate that. And continue to keep the board informed. I mean, we'll probably evaluate that every 2 weeks or every month, and continue to inform the board. But we could do this for some time. Curtis, do you want to speak any more to that? Okay, great. And yes, we feel like following the governor's directive and the health department's order is really where we should be. Again, that's consistent with what FDA has told us. So we feel good about that. Gregory asked the question, is the $1.50 an hour emergency pay enough, and what are UTA and Park City doing with this? That's a great question, Gregory. UTA has a collective bargaining agreement, so this is something they work through with their union. We were on the phone with Park City yesterday in a meeting. They did not give any indication of what they're doing. They are reducing service. They did not give any indication of what they're doing as far as their employee pay. I've been on the through email today with several systems across the country, and there's just a wide range. We have systems that are doing everything from complete shutdown of the system and just furloughing their employees, not providing any pay, to other systems that are doing a full or continue to operate as usual. There's no shutdown at all. And obviously in that situation, employees get paid. So there's a pretty wide gamut out there.
It's okay.
Jeff?
Yeah. I assume since we're continuing to pay the employees 60 and over, that we don't run up against any age discrimination issues?
No, we would not. Again, that's part of the reason as well that we feel we need to also be fair to all of our workforce. We're not going to run up to age discrimination issues now. Let's see, we have another question in the chat. Let's see, Aaron, is the transit center open? Are the bus drivers wearing masks? So the answer to your question, yes. We have posted at the transit center, again, from the health department. We've asked people not to congregate. We've asked people to keep their social distancing. We've even put up there on the floor a measurement for them to see what 6 feet is. And then we have told them that they're only to wait at the transit center long enough to catch their bus. And so if people are trying to wait longer, we will ask them to depart. We do not have masks for the drivers, and yes, they're extremely hard to come by. There is not a supply out there. So Lyle asked the question, what are the ridership numbers for the last week? Our ridership is down about 70 to 80%, which is consistent with what we're seeing across the country. The ridership is not, the ridership is the focus of why we're making this recommendation. The focus of this recommendation was reaction to the governor's stay home, stay safe, or stay safe, stay home directive, and the health order, or the public health order by the health department. The ridership was something we used as a guide in making recommendations to you for what routes and service we are recommending to suspend. Jeannie asks the question, what do you anticipate the additional costs will be to the district? Does the administrative leave apply just to the drivers? So I'll let the administrative leave applies to all of our hourly people.
All employees.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Thank you. All employees. I'll let Curtis address the cost to the district.
Right now, based off of the duration of the order and some of the potential savings that there might be, we're thinking this is pretty close to cost neutral to possibly costing a few thousand dollars, but we don't anticipate really any significant additional costs. It looks more closer to a break even than to any additional costs.
Thank you for your questions. Any other questions? These are great questions. Thank you.
More discussion.
Yeah. Is there any more questions? Oh, Paul, go ahead. Okay, I got a motion from Paul James to approve the suggested route changes, administrative leave, and employee pay to minimize exposure and follow the directive until lifting of the recommended stay safe, stay home directive. Do I have a second?
I'll
second. Okay, who second?
Ron.
Ron, okay. Thank you, Ron. Okay, I'm going to go down the list.
Well, you want to have discussion?
No, oh, discussion, yes. Okay, go. Okay.
I have four questions.
All right, go.
Okay, how can it be revenue neutral if you're paying part-time people $1.50 more an hour? Are you paying fewer part-time people? I don't understand how you can say it's revenue neutral when you're paying all the over 60 people full time for however long it is we do that. And is every over 60 person being put on administrative leave, or are only those who cannot do work from home?
Well, right now we haven't identified anybody over 60 that could really work from home. And so every person over 60 would then be put on administrative leave and paid their wage. The bulk of the cost savings that brings it to a break-even point is the Saturday savings.
The reduction in service.
The reduction in service on Saturday. That's where we use a lot of part-time people. And so the savings that we realize there is what's going to offset the $1.50 increase. Other than that, you're absolutely right. What we're paying for in drivers is what we're paying.
What percentage of our drivers fit into this category?
We identified 15.
Yep, that's two that weren't.
15.
And they're all full-time and they will all go on leave?
No, they're not all full-time. Only about 10 of those are full-time.
So we're going to put, you said you were going to put the 60 and over and pay them and their benefits.
For the full-time, yes.
Only for the full-time people, so the part-time people will be on administrative leave as well?
But they will get the average of what they would work in a week. We have the ability to look at their history of work.
And what they're scheduled for.
And what they're scheduled for, and be able to pay them what they would be scheduled for.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, great questions, Jeannie. Paul is correct. Paul put up here fuel cost savings. There is some cost savings as well from just maintenance and fuel costs and those things. And again, that's why we're looking at it's potentially break even. Part of what we're trying to accomplish here is we want to follow the directive from the governor and the public health order, but we also want to hold our employees harmless for something that was of no fault of their own. Obviously, this virus has impacted a lot of people. We value the employees and what they continue to provide for us and we want to keep them. We don't want to lose them. We're hopeful that within 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks maybe, that this can be lifted. And so that's the purpose of our recommendation. Gregory calls for questions.
Okay.
That's your.
Let's see. Lyle has.
Okay. Lyle asked the question, have the call for ride numbers changed? Has the call.
I think he's talking about call ride numbers. Yes.
Lyle, if your question is the call ride numbers, yes, we've seen a reduction in the number of patrons taking call ride trips because, again, really the things that they're taking them for now are for medical and critical nutrition. And so that those numbers have gone down. We're averaging about 40 a day currently.
But that's a part of our system that's already accounted for adjusting up and down. So we'll flex up the number of buses that need to operate and flex that down. That one's already allowed to fluctuate. And so that's why it's technically considered functioning as normal is because those call ride drivers already understand their schedules fluctuate.
Yep, that's true.
Are there any other questions?
Well, Gregory's called a question.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Gregory.
Cecilia.
I think this sounds like a great plan. I'm just wondering if Lloyd feels like this goes far enough for a long enough period of time.
Are you there, Lloyd? Lloyd?
Not, I'm sure that we will be evaluating this as we go along every couple of weeks, but because they don't feel like we're near the peak yet, I guess we will just keep meeting as a board as the situation changes.
No, we're asking you to vote on this, and this is the position going forward, and we're telling you we can do this for a couple months if we need to.
And we'll continue it until the order is rescinded or expires.
That is the recommendation to continue until the order expires.
Good. That's a good plan.
Is that written into the resolution?
Well, we didn't do a formal resolution. I'm sorry, Jeannie, but the way that we proposed it to you is that yes, this is until the health order expires.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Gregory's asking.
All for the vote.
Okay. Okay, are we ready? I'll start with Ron. All those in favor? Okay, Mark, Mike Arnold.
Aye.
Craig Wright.
Aye.
Lloyd Berenson.
I think he must be off doing something.
Aye.
Cecilia.
Aye.
Dave Geary. Dave?
Aye.
Jeannie.
I'm here. Aye.
Okay, Jeannie Simmons?
Aye.
Lyle Lundberg? Lyle?
He said aye.
Oh, okay,
aye.
On there. Okay. Patrick Jenkins? Patrick? Okay. Sue Sorensen?
Aye.
Patrick Jenkins says aye.
Okay, Patrick says aye. Okay, Lee Aaron?
Aye.
Gregory?
He said aye.
Aye on there, okay. Paul James? Paul?
Aye.
Okay, Jeff Turley?
Aye.
Sean Bushman?
Aye.
Thank you, and it's unanimous? Okay. Thank you for meeting and taking some extra time to be with us.
Thank you.
And stay safe, and we will get with you with any changes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.